Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host for Spiritual Hollywood, and I want to give some gratitude out to BBS Radio, Don Newsom over there, and Seth, his right-hand man, and say thanks so much for providing us with this platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood, which I believe is what Hollywood is for. We have with us tonight William Basketball Bill Chafin, who wrote a wonderful book called Nothing But Net, Living with Integrity is Your Best Shot, and you might think you might know or have an idea of what this is going to be like, but I'll bet you can't guess. It's a pretty interesting story that we're going to talk about tonight, and you're going to want to listen closely. I'm going to give you his website right now so you can get a little bit of a clue of who it is we're going to be speaking with. It's www.billchafin.com. I will spell that. BILLCHAFFIN.com. Go ahead and log on to that and take a look around as you listen to our interview. And at this moment, I will be reading a bit from Bill's bio for you to give you an idea of just a real quick idea. We're going to get into it really, really in depth as we go through the 55 minutes. Bill Chafin was a successful marketing and sales executive for 25 years, primarily in the insurance and real estate industries. His career path took a new direction in 1978. He took over a troubled motion picture object with the release title Squeeze Play, starring four Dallas Cowboy football players, Ed Too Tall Jones, Drew Pearson, Jay Saldi, and Thomas Hollywood Henderson as the executive producer. Bill made a big mistake that led to his darkest hour. After this, he worked for the Zig Ziglar Corporation for 28 months. In 1986, Bill formed Turnkey Communications, currently known as Bill Chafin Enterprises, Inc., and serves as president. Bill is the only motivational speaker in America who does basketball shootouts with middle schools, high schools, colleges, and professional basketball players. This novel approach with teenagers and young people gains instant respect before he shares an urgent message entitled, What Goes Around Comes Around. September 12, 1989, Bill broke into the Guinness Book of World Records shooting a basketball on cable television in Schererville, Indiana. He made 190 out of 208 free throw attempts in 10 minutes using one ball and one rebounder. Wow. And, well, I think I'll just tell you, I believe this young man is over 70 years old. A good bottom line is, showing a net profit in business and swishing the net in basketball will attract the attention of many, but the most exhilarating feeling is to hit nothing but net in everyday life. When you make those clearly defined choices, it will have a dramatic impact on winning in those must-win situations. Bill's high-touch message will challenge you to go beyond success and become significant, both personally and professionally. To corporate America, Bill's talk is entitled, Nothing But Net, and boy do we need this message in corporate America. Without further ado, I will bring on for you Bill Chafin. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Kate Romero. It's an honor to be with you tonight.
It's an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for making time.
You're welcome.
So, elaborate, if you will, about this 190 baskets out of 208 attempts, free throws, in 10 minutes.
Well, starting from the eighth grade, I was always a pretty good athlete shooting the basketball, but Andy Anderson, my PE coach, said, Bill, if you listen to me, you'll be a 90% free throw shooter by the time you get to high school, and I was a 90% free throw shooter as a freshman. But 24 years ago, I thought, if I'm going to work with youth across America, what's the one thing that will connect with me and them quicker than anything I could think of, and that's shooting hoops, and nothing's more universal than shooting hoops. China and all around the world, basketball is a big thing, and so I took my shooting to a scientific level. I thought, what's the safest place to enter the net? And it's on the back side. Well, in order to do that, you must elevate the shot 6 inches. It goes another 6 inches. So you're adding 1 foot to your shot. So when you apply physics to it, you actually enlarge your target just a little bit when you hit nothing but the back of the net.
Hmm.
And so it's a great attention getter. It sets the table for the message when I speak to youth across America, kids at risk and normal kids.
That's fantastic. And do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
How many Earth years are you?
I'm 71 years young.
That's what I thought. And you're still doing that, aren't you?
I still shoot 200 shots a day. I still work out with the weights four times a week. I do cardio 6 days a week. I do 1,000 crunches every morning for my tummy, and I'm just really trying to slow down the aging process. I think I've got 20 great years left, and that's what I'm counting on.
I believe you got more than that if you want it.
Well, bless you. I do want it. Yes.
Okay, it's yours. Done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I do here on Spiritual Hollywood.
Well, when I pulled up your resume on your website, being raised on a farm and competing with the boys and becoming physically fit and mentally strong, and then when you became a world title arm wrestling champ and ping pong and chess and billiards and all that, I thought, I'm not a bad ping pong player, but I'm not sure I want to play you on the table.
Yeah.
But those that know you well say you're wise beyond your years, compassionate and caring, and your intuitive abilities are truly extraordinary, and that's why I've really been looking forward to your show tonight.
Wonderful, Bill. Well, thanks for doing a little research on the host.
You're welcome.
That's really an honor and very flattering. I appreciate it a lot and tells me a lot about your character. So I'm going to give your website again for our listeners to go there for anyone who just joined us. It's www.billchafin.com. That's www.billchafin.com. So, Bill, was it the big turning point in your life, your darkest hour, as you call it, that is what called up your writing the book Nothing But Net?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, the motion picture took me down a road I'd never planned for, to accomplish some things I could never have imagined, and it was a major career change, and it led to my darkest hour, and it was during that process that I was sorting through my core values, my priorities, and really where I was in my life, and I was really kind of cocky and arrogant and thought I had all the answers. But when I came through the dark hour, you know, a lot of people, when they have a dark hour and adversity strike, they either run or cop out, commit suicide, resort to drugs or alcohol to escape the reality of what they're going through. But when you cope and work through the pain, there will always be an oasis on the other side. And I elected to work through the pain. It was a tremendous pain, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. It was a major test, but I came out on the other side stronger and a better human being than I could have imagined.
You know what? You are a true alchemist. And an alchemist is a person who can take something bad and turn it into something good.
I like that definition.
And that's what you've done. So I'm going to go ahead and let our listeners know what happened. Unless you would like to say.
No, you can lead me on, and I'll blend right in with you.
You jump in and fill in the parts that I didn't live through.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
By the way, I'd love to hear you. I know you're a great life coach and a great author, but I'd love to hear you do one of your motivational talks. I know you must be incredible.
Oh, well, that would be my pleasure. You didn't want to do it on this interview, did you?
No, I'd like to see you in person because body language speaks. It, volumes.
It really does. I know it does, and you would know that best as a basketball player. Before I launch into what I've read in this book, I'm going to go to page 4 and read something that impressed me a lot that you put in this book. Mm-hmm. It's integrity every day, and integrity starts at home. And if you have integrity in your home, you're going to have integrity everywhere because life is holographic. Some of the key steps to integrity, action steps for integrity, which I'm sure all the listeners know this, and I just want to say it as a reminder because I think it's important and valuable. Walking your talk, telling the truth as fast as you can, doing a gut check, that's if I do this today, will I embarrass my family tomorrow? Not a lot of people think about that. Living each day with honor, honoring your word, honoring commitments, and honoring relationships. In other words, being an honorable person. Being a person of the highest integrity, even in the face of personal disaster, striving for moral soundness by living alone above reproach, striving for moral soundness by living above reproach, reaching down for every fiber within you to be squeaky clean. You're not for sale at any price. And what's so great about leaders is that they do what they say and they should do. They're really great role models anyway. And the way that you learned these things, I'm sure they were within you since the day you were born and right at conception. I mean, you just occur for me as somebody who had core values just coming straight out into the world. And what happened in your life really nailed this to the wall for you.
Well, thank you.
And,
I had a great mother at age 10. She told me, son, always tell the truth. That way you never have to remember what you say.
Exactly. That's one good reason to do it, that's for sure. What I want the listeners to know is that Bill got involved with this Hollywood movie and was out of his element and made some choices that threw him into a tailspin and a downward spiral that ultimately led to this upward spiral he's in today. The downward spiral was Bill was sentenced to go to jail for
849 days.
And your children were ages 8 and 12 at the time?
Correct.
And while you were on trial for this crime, you went to a friend of yours who had a hotel or worked at a hotel, and he offered you a management position, and you said, no, I want to be a bellman because I'm involved in
it. And it was at the most elite hotel in Dallas at the time.
Yeah. And you were offered a nice position that would have helped your family a lot, and you resorted to taking a bellman position because you knew you were on trial and you sensed you were going to jail, and you wanted the most low-key position you could be in that wouldn't affect the hotel adversely when you left.
Exactly.
And also, there was a man who offered you $200 to find him a woman for the night as a bellman.
From England.
And you flat out refused, knowing that $200 would help your family a great deal. Your integrity wouldn't let you do it, and I highly commend you for that, because character, true character, is what you do when nobody's looking.
You got that right. And as a matter of fact, that particular night, I had the biggest tip night in the 2 months I was there, $264, so that more than compensated for the $200 that I turned away, because I was not going to sell myself down the river.
And that's just the way it works. What goes around comes around, right?
You got that right.
Yep. So do you mind if I ask you, Bill, what the charges were against you?
Well, it's fraud. You know, when you see somebody on TV, you say to yourself, and if they're high profile in the community, you say, in my right mind, I would never do what so-and-so did. Well, when you panic, you're not experiencing your rational right mind. All you're thinking about is survival in the here and now, in this moment in time. And when I got a foreclosure notice on our home, I was 5 months in arrears on our mortgage payment. I was in very good shape financially before I took the motion picture on, but I poured a lot of my personal money into it, so I had a lot at risk. And when I went over budget $300,000, which when you blaze a new trail, Kate, you're not too sure what you're going to encounter. And so, but I premiered Squeeze Play on June 15th of 79, eliminated sex, violence, and abusive language. A kid could see a Saturday afternoon matinee without mom or dad. So I really felt like I accomplished my objective on that. But when the motion picture was dangling and then I got this foreclosure notice, I didn't want my wife to see it, and so I made a decision. I sold part of my interest to 10 people, and I didn't tell them that I was in the involuntary bankruptcy court, which is fraud. My rationale was the judge, John Ford, in the federal court in Dallas said, Bill, I've approved a $1.5 million cash offer. It's going to close in 45 days. I said, great, Your Honor, I appreciate that. Well, 3 days into that 45-day period is when I got the foreclosure notice. And when I visualized my neighbors going down our street, seeing my wife, two kids, two dogs, and our furniture on the curb of our street, saying, my word, the Chapins have a serious problem, I wanted to spare myself of that music. And I traded off short-term gain for some very long-term pain. It's a lousy trade-off by all standards.
Well, that's a wonderful catchphrase you just used. You traded off short-term gain for long-term pain.
Yes.
A lot of people do that.
I cured the home delinquent mortgage payments, and I kept the motion picture going. And one of the 10 people I sold my interest to was an attorney. He heard on the street that I was in the bankruptcy court, and he couldn't believe it because he thought I was Mr. Squeaky Clean, Mr. Integrity, and I wouldn't betray him or rip him off or whatever. And so he checks the court docket, Sunshine Films, Squeeze Play, and William G. Chafin. All one of those things was on the docket, biggest day. So they had the district attorney's office represent their interest, and I had an 8-day trial. And I thought we were gaining some ground, but then on the last day, I felt us losing major ground, and I got a 10-year prison term for a first offense, and I never had anything more than a traffic ticket. But I was about to experience what I call an advanced school of learning. I called it God's advanced school of learning. That was going to be a very painful, very thorough, and a very extended school. But a major makeover took place in my life in that 849-day period.
Is it true that the first 30 days you lost 23 pounds or something?
That is correct. The food there wasn't fit to eat, and I got sick. I got the flu. I was really just falling apart at the seams. But when one of the guards took me out of the flu tank and said, Bill Chapin, I'm looking at your buff card. You don't look like a criminal. I said, well, sir, I don't feel like one. But I said, I made a big mistake I'm going to pay a high price for, and I'm taking all the blame. He said, can you type? I said, no, sir, but I can cook. I cooked in the Army for 2 years. And he said, wow, could we use somebody of your expertise in the kitchen? So I became a trustee in the kitchen. And to this day, I hold the record of 822 days out of 849 days as a trustee in the Dallas County jail system, because most guys cannot stay on as a trustee more than 90 days because they have 400 ways to bust you as a trustee. They don't want you eating as good as the top officials.
Mm.
But it was just an incredible experience of, you know, inventorying the food, planning the menus, preparing it for the officers, for the inmates, and for the trustees that were on my crew. And it was a day-to-day experience. I discovered while I was in there that the basics in life are luxurious.
Yeah.
We take for granted so much that we experience every day, and I just I don't take it for granted. In fact, just the other day, I was asked to come over to the Red Cross in Arlington. They were housing over 150 people that were blown away or washed away from Hurricane Ike on the Gulf Coast.
Mm.
And 103 kids and the mothers, no dads were there. And a friend of mine was one of the volunteers for Red Cross, and Sandy said, could you come and be with us for a couple hours? And so the following day, I was there from 2 to 4, did a basketball shootout with all the kids and free throws and long shots. I didn't lose any. When I got out of my car, one of the boys, age 15, said to Miss Sandy, Miss Sandy, I didn't know an old geezer with a foot in the graves coming out here to shoot against us. I thought some young buck was coming over here. He said, well, let's talk about the guy that's going to whip up on you after he's through shooting and speaking, then tell us what you think about him. And, well, I didn't lose to anybody, and I spoke to them on a basketball. I took the word basketball and made an acronym out of it, and it was a wake-up call for the kids. But a message of hope, I made the statement. I said, you know, the medical world, they have proven we can live without physical food for 40 days, without the water we drink for 8 days, without the breath we breathe for about 4 minutes. Mm. But you and I and everybody out there cannot live without hope much more than 4 seconds.
Mm.
Once all hope is gone, there's not much left. And I gave those kids hope to keep trucking, regardless of what had happened to them, you know, facing a very uncertain future. I gave them hope to keep going.
That's fantastic, Bill.
And when I came home, on my way home, Kate, I said, I did something more than just being successful today. I did something that was very significant. And it just swelled my heart and soul and even brought tears to my eyes as I was thinking about it.
That's fantastic. And I was thinking that as the cook at the jail, was it a prison or jail?
I never left Dallas County jail system. I had a choice to go to the prison where I would have been cooking for a warden. I would have had it made in the shade. But by staying here, I got to see my wife, once a week. My mail was a two-day turnaround, uncensored. I got the phone 3 times a day as a trustee in the kitchen. So I had some benefits here that I wouldn't have had down there. She could have only seen me once a month had I been 300 miles away.
Right, right.
So there was a trade-off by staying here.
Absolutely. And did you get to show anybody some basketball tricks?
Well, the first kid from Sam Houston High School, he was All-State in basketball. He was now 19 years old in Dallas on some drug charges, and his name was Jason. And he went to Coach Hatley and he said, don't you have anybody in the jailhouse that can shoot hoops? He said, I got an older guy in the kitchen. They call him Basketball Bill. Maybe I can get him up and you guys can have a little shootout. Well, he makes 14 in a row from the free throw line. I make 66 straight. He said, well, it's obvious you're the free throw guru. Let's shoot some long shots from downtown. We played a game of horse. I played 5 games, H-O-R-S-E, and he only got 1 letter in 5 games. I was shooting the lights out. I was in the zone. And afterwards, he said, Coach Hatley, don't tell anybody what happened here today. He said, Coach Hatley said, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to tell everybody, Jason. This is incredible that you let this guy beat you.
That's fantastic.
And so I never lost a shootout the whole time I was locked up because it gave me a platform to gain respect and dignity. And guys that were up to no good, it's amazing how many people get gang raped in jail or in prison, regardless of how old you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I had their respect. Plus, I taught hand-to-hand combat in the Army as a drill sergeant. I thought, I need to let that leak out early on. And so they, when they heard that, they thought, oh, boy, you know, 5 of us jumping, 3 of us are going to get messed up. So they stayed at bay, and, I was never touched in a harmful way the whole time I was locked up.
Well, you know that God had a total arm around you or two.
Without question. It was like his angels escorted me through every day.
Absolutely. And your attitude.
Well, they stripped me. You know, when I got locked up, as I was toweling down and coming out of the shower, these 3 guards had this huge oil can, had a very foul, pungent odor, and it was a spray. And they said, we got to spray this chemically based spray on everybody that comes through for lice and parasites, and you look okay, but we've got to spray you too. And as the oil was dripping off my body, they said, sir, you still have something we need. I said, what could that be? I said, I've been stripped of my dignity. honor, self-worth, family, friends, money, career, reputation, clothing, and my physical freedom. And they said, well, if you could get your wedding ring off. And so I struggled to get it off, and one guard said, oh, that's 14 karat gold. I said, yes, sir. He said, you've got some diamonds in there. He said, if you go to sleep in the hard tank tonight, the inmates will knock you out, and if they can't slip this off your ring finger, they will take a homemade shank and cut your finger off of the base. They'll barter with this. This has tremendous value. And I laid it on the table. I said, gentlemen, just put it in safekeeping till I get out. And at that moment in time, Kate, I said to myself, I cannot believe this is happening to me. It was my worst nightmare.
Yeah, and that's the truth about that ring. They actually saved your life, most likely.
Yes.
That's by exactly taking right. that ring from you.
You're right.
So, you know, bless you for giving it up so freely. And I'm sure you've read the book by Viktor Frankl, A Man's Search for Meaning, haven't
you? Oh, yes, it was powerful.
Well, your story sounds a little bit like it. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's what you did with what happened to you that's very similar.
Well, they stripped me of everything, but you mentioned it earlier. They could not strip me of my good attitude. And I was determined to become better, not bitter, and to make something good of a bad situation. And I did all the above.
You're a true alchemist.
Thank you.
Yep, and so is Viktor Frankl. So I'd like to invite our listeners to call in if you would be so inclined. I'll give you the numbers. The call-in numbers, toll-free in the U.S., are 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. Toll-free in Canada only, it's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. If you have anything on your mind that you'd like to ask Bill, I'm sure he'd be thrilled to have you call in. Again, the website is billchaffin.com, billchaffin.com. And what stopped me from finishing saying what the website is because the thought occurred to me to tell our listeners where they could get your wonderful book, and I got excited about that. So it's called Nothing But Net, Living with Integrity is Your Best Shot by William Basketball Bill Chaffin. And the foreword is by Zig Ziglar. Can
he makes a statement in my can I just say one thing real quick?
Yes.
Zig makes a statement in my foreword. He says, I don't recall a time in our country's history when Bill Chaffin's message would have been more important or more relevant. And with all that's going on with the Wall Street, the insurance world, the banking world, the book is even more timely today than it was 6 months ago.
Wonderful. And they can purchase this on your website, correct?
Yes, they can.
BillChaffin.com. Wonderful. So I know that you've gotten every single lesson and every bit of wisdom that you could possibly get for where you are right now in this day and time from your experience with this life action disaster situation. And I would like to invite you right now, Bill, to look deeper and find something else that you hadn't seen before that you might get out of this experience.
Well, wisdom, I maintain, is skillful living, knowing right and doing right, and living your life from God's point of view. And as I went through the experience and came out on the other side, I had a lot of people rooting for me, praying for me, encouraging me. And all of a sudden, I began to realize the more that I learned, the more I realized I don't know.
Mm.
And there's a kind of a vacuum there. I want to keep learning and growing. I make a statement that when I speak to the corporate world, that if you're not working at improving yourself every day, you're going to be stuck in the same place, doing the same thing, hoping the same hopes, never gaining any new ground, and you will not be growing mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, financially, or professionally. That's where that goes.
That's guaranteed, and I'd like to share with our listeners seven things not to do that are in your book. Number one is a runaway ego puts you on a collision course with disaster. And for me, ego means edging God out.
Oh, I like that.
Yep. And two, thinking you have all the answers is always a false estimate of your capabilities. Three, having no experience or knowledge of the task at hand is a serious deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Four, greed and power without accountability corrupt. Five, being cocky and arrogant blinds you to problems. Six, being full of excuses when things don't go right keeps you from solving your problems. Seven, all the above lead to defective decision-making, guaranteed. So you learned that the hard way, didn't you?
You know, I sure did. I've I tell people, if you can learn from my experience, you become very wise. Don't have to go through what I went through to learn the same lesson. And at the end of each motion picture part, you notice that I have Bill's hard lesson number 1 through 6. And I think the readers really wanted to know if I learned something from each motion picture part, which I certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the first motion picture part, the hard lesson I learned was sharpen your decision-making skills and think twice before you leap. That's good advice.
It is. And discernment is something that a lot of people, you know, when you start looking at your value system, your core belief system, your core values are even the 7 of them make up who you actually are. And if discernment is not one of your values, then, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Oh, boy, that's so true.
Yeah, and people without discernment tend to fall for everything. So what would you do different today, Bill, if you had the Hollywood film thing to do over again? I mean, what would you do different? I know you got this great lesson. I know you got a lot of wisdom. I know you wrote a book that's helping millions of people. And if you had it to do over again, knowing what you know now, how would you have approached that?
Well, you know, I thought I was soaring like an eagle, but I was just kind of really hanging around the chickens and the turkeys on the ground. I never got off the ground. I was deceiving myself. And as I went through all of that, and I started thinking about the eagle, I've spoken for some Eagle Scout ceremony awards. And to become an Eagle Scout, you have 21 merit badges you have to achieve. And as I was studying about the eagle size, strength, power of flight, and vision is unparalleled. And the eagle soars in the upper stratosphere, breathing unpolluted air, seeing things from a totally different perspective. In fact, the eagle sees things others don't see. And I wanted that for my personal life. But as I studied the eagle's habit in getting ready for the day, the eagle sits high perched on a rock, waiting for the sun to rise. As the sun starts rising, Kate, he starts preening each feather, P-R-E-E-N-I-N-G, starts preening each feather, breathing on each feather. It's like steam cleaning. It restores a feather. It lightens a feather. He can fly further at a greater distance and a higher altitude, and it takes 1 hour to preen all 1,200 feathers. And the eagle knows instinctively, Kate, that if he doesn't preen every feather every day of its life, he will not maximize his full potential.
Mm.
What if the eagle said, I've been preening my feathers for 10 years. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going to declare a 3-week vacation. So he does. He's out on a honey mission. He's got 3 little eaglets in the nest. Mouths were wide open. Tummies were growling when he left the nest. And his honey's mouth was wide open, and her tummy was growling. And he sees this real good catch, but he says, I'm physically out of gas. I didn't realize this preening process was so important. So he comes back to the nest with nothing in his talons, empty-handed. And his wife said, look, boy, let me tell you something. You brought these 3 little eaglets into the world with me. You get back out there, and you don't come back to this nest. You have some dinner. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to face that music, so he knows that he's going to be out there every day preening his feathers early in the morning. So a lot of people, they begin their day by jumping out of bed, running to the shower, getting their face together, throwing their clothes on, and speeding off to work. I spend an hour this way in getting ready for my day like the eagle. The first 20 minutes, I have an open Bible, a time of meditation and prayer. The second 20 minutes, I do some light calisthenics and crunches and getting my blood circulating. The last 20 minutes, I'm saying to myself, how can I be a little better today than I was yesterday? How can I be a little more imaginative, creative, innovative, resourceful? And so I have a legal pad, and I start writing things down. One thing will trigger another, and all of a sudden I say, my word, what a healthy, exciting exercise this was today. And I've learned not to wait till the end of the year or the quarter or the half a year to celebrate. I do something every day that's worth celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you have a new excitement for living. You have a new purpose, new direction, new dimension for what you're all about. And I make a statement, when you're more concerned about making others feel better about themselves than you're concerned about them feeling good about you, you're taking a quantum leap forward in maximizing relationships.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And one thing we love to do, Bill, is to declare every single day Good Humor Day.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because when you declare it Good Humor Day, you don't let the little things bug you. And the big things don't bug you as much. So when you look for the humor in everything, then you kind of rise above it, and it doesn't drag you down.
You hit on a very sensitive subject and a very powerful subject. When I was locked up, I was known as the guy that would make anybody and everybody laugh at the drop of a hat. Well, when you see something funny in something, and sometimes it's at the expense of somebody else, sometimes it's at your expense,
mm-hmm.
but I'd have the people, the guards and the inmates alike, rolling in the aisles, and it just made the day go a little bit quicker, and the load I was carrying was a little bit lighter.
Yep, yep. And that's why it's called levity, yeah?
Well, I can tell you've got a great sense of humor. I think a good sense of humor is like lotion for the sunburns of life.
Absolutely. And, you know, for somebody who, I know that when you were in prison, you really learned to appreciate all the things you once took for granted. Having lived on the farm in Kentucky, we didn't have any running water, and we heated the house with a pot-bellied stove, and we cooked every meal with a wood-burning stove.
Incredible.
And if I didn't bring that wood in, it was my job to make the fires and warm, you know, get up out of bed for my seven siblings and my mom and my stepdad and get that house warmed up by building the fire first thing in the morning in the winter. And the house we lived in on the farm, there were cracks in the walls where snow drifts would be on the floor when we'd wake up.
Oh, my word, Kate, that's unreal.
Yep.
Oh, my
and
word.
All seven kids slept in the same bed just so we wouldn't freeze to death.
Well, you know which side your bread's buttered on, don't you?
So believe it, I appreciate a shower and a toilet like you can't believe. And also central heating, it to me is like nirvana. And air conditioning, don't even get me started.
I'd love to sit down over a lunch with you for 2 or 3 hours and just share compare notes on how I was raised and how you were raised. That would be a hoot.
Yeah, and my brother didn't like to work on the farm, and I was the one who ended up doing his work. And I baled hay and worked the fields and carried a 50-pound bag of fertilizer on each shoulder across the field when I was 9. And
When you were nine?
Yep.
Kate Romero, you've got to be the last of the $6 million bionic women.
I do have titanium in my neck now. I think it's largely to do with what I did when I was 9. But
you're remarkable.
Well, it's just, you know, it taught me a lot about life. It taught me a lot about people. It taught me a lot about myself. You know, I was just sharing with someone last night, is when you take a little tiny balloon, you know, like you make the animal figures from, those skinny
yes.
little balloons that really pop your jaws when you try to blow them up, those kind of things, those really tiny balloons, and you blow them up into this big balloon, when you let the air out, that balloon doesn't go back to the size it was. It gets expanded.
That's right.
And when you go through what you went through in the county jail and that experience, you got expanded to such a degree that you're still expanded. You cannot go back to that tiny little balloon. You've been expanded. You've been blown full out. And that's what you're doing from where I'm sitting. What I see is every day you're looking how to fill up that balloon every single day to keep it expanded and expand it even more. Would that be accurate?
Oh, that's very accurate. Can I piggyback on what you just said?
Sure, please.
I think that there's no way we can increase our capacity to do anything until we stretch. You know, if you took a rubber band and had it laying in your hand, in the palm of your hand, and you look at that band and you'd say, well, in its present form, it has no value. But if you had some 3x5 cards that had all these prospects for you to coach and teach and speak to and all these things, and it had all their information, their email address, their financial capacity to honor their word if they took you on, and all the important information was on those 3x5 cards, and there were 50 cards, you wouldn't want to lose any of those cards because they're all going to become clients of yours. Well, if you put that rubber band and stretch it several times around those 3x5 cards, now then, that rubber band has maximized its value.
Mm-hmm.
And until we stretch, we're not going to maximize our value. And I have a workout a gym here at home. I converted a 3-stall garage into a beautiful gym, and I have 2 signs out there, I yearn to burn and strive for personal best.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just work out till I'm tired. I work out till I'm exhausted. I don't leave anything in the tank.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, and yearn to burn. Let me write that down.
This is funny. The other night, I knew I was going to be on your show tonight, and I went out there and I saw that sign, and I didn't feel like working out. I get back in my bed between the sheets, and I couldn't go to sleep. I kept saying, I can't talk about what I do with my workouts if I don't get back out there. So I got out of bed. I got my workout clothes on. I went back out there for 1 hour and 20 minutes. I really kicked my fanny and worked out hard, took a shower, woke up the next morning, and I said, I'm glad I didn't miss that workout tonight because I don't want to get caught in the trap of what difference does a day make, then 2 days, then a week, then a month. Now you're out of the routine of doing things that were very beneficial for you. I don't want to get in that trap.
Well, it takes a long time to get into the habit of self-care. It takes at least 33 days of doing something every day before it becomes a habit.
Yes.
And it only takes one day to break that good habit.
You're right.
So, you know, if you don't do it every single day and keep those muscles pliable and ready, then, you know, the opportunities when they come, you won't be able to snatch them up or recognize them because your head will be into being out of integrity and, oh, why didn't I do that? And then you start going in the downward spiral of self-esteem. Your self-estimation starts getting lower and lower, and half the time people don't even know it's happening until they're already down in the pits.
It happens very subtly, doesn't it?
It does, and that's one reason why it's important to stay in the gym, be your word, and most of all, keep your commitments to yourself.
I agree with you 1,000%. Boy, you've got your head screwed on straight, your heart's right, and your feet are firmly on the ground. I'm very proud of the core values and the wisdom that you give people everywhere you go and everybody you touch. It's just incredible, the impact player that you are.
Well, thank you, Bill. That's wonderful to hear from such an awesome person.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I believe in passing roses when you're still alive to smell them.
I love that, too.
I'll give you something that's new that I've been, it's fresh out of the oven, fresh bread out of the oven. I'm telling the corporate world, don't get caught in the trap of when you think of something that's really worth saying to somebody, I make a statement. Don't let words of encouragement die on the tip of your tongue. If it's worthy of being said, if it's encouraging, if it's genuine, if it's authentic, say it on the phone, in person, seize the moment. You and I cannot tell a book by its cover, can we? Who's hurting and to what extent? And invariably somebody on the phone will say, well, Bill, I got dumped on 3 hours ago. I was hurt deeply. My mental, emotional bucket was drained dry. But thanks to you, I'm back on my feet. I'm dusting myself off. I'm going forward again. I say, thank you. And my assignment to you today is, before the sun sets, you must tell one other person, don't let words of encouragement die on the tip of your tongue. Encouragement is like oxygen for the soul. We all need those warm fuzzies, don't we?
Yep, we do. And I declared today being Pay It Forward Day.
Oh, Pay It Forward. I like that.
As well as Good Humor Day. And what I meant was, when I told my beloved John, I said, you know what? It's time to do. Time to go through our closets, and everything that we haven't used in a year, we pass it on to someone else who can use it. And he agreed immediately, and we just declared it Pay It Forward Day.
Well, you just raised the bar on me, so anything that you've had for a year that you're not wearing, you give it away.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, yeah, and I happened to trip over a beautiful suit that I forgot I had in my closet the other day, and I told John, I said, boy, this one just barely made it from the year mark, and I said, I'm so glad that I went shopping in my closet because it made it just before the year mark, so I get to keep it now.
Oh, good for you. Well, I love your new game plan between you and John. That's powerful.
Oh, yeah, and we're just really enjoying life, and you know, every day when we get up, we also make a gratitude list. We make 10 things we're grateful for every day, we each do, and you know, a lot of times on that gratitude list are my hands and my feet.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, when I see somebody who can't walk and somebody without arms, at this church we go to called Agape with Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith from mm-hmm. The Secret, there's a young Afro-American adult who has no arms.
Oh, my.
And the smile on his face is so amazing. You would think that he had all his parts and was on top of the world. And every time I see him, I'm just so moved and touched by his attitude. And it's always been a silent thing. I haven't even mentioned it to John or anybody else. You're the first one hearing it, that he is always in my mind, making me very grateful for my arms.
That is powerful.
My hands. So, you know, I'm grateful for everything. I mean, like I said, running water, central heat, the gas in my car, being able to make money so I can afford whatever price it is, being able to move, touch, and inspire anybody even once a day. I just went with my partner and co-creator of quantum hypnotherapy last night and gave a lovely young actress a quantum hypnotherapy session and just completely restored her back to her divinity.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, got rid of all the issues that was standing in the way of her greatness. And, you know, he puts them under hypnosis, and then I go in just as an instrument of God and just do whatever I'm told to do, and it always works out. This was our 168th session last night, and all of them successful. We've helped people stop smoking in one session, stop biting their nails, stop taking methamphetamines, you name it. We can tell you a story.
Wow.
It's amazing. And to be able to do something like that, if I even did it once in my life, would be incredible. And I get to do it all the time, so I'm extremely blessed. And being of service, as you know, Bill, is really the one way to guarantee that our physical needs will be provided for. Because until you get a service mind, a service-mindedness, then the universe can't really show up to support you. It's who we are in the world and why we're here, I believe, is to be of service. And when we come to the place where we know that, and we realize that, R-E-A-L-E-Y-E-S, mm-hmm. then everything shifts, everything changes.
Well, I love where you're coming from in the area of servant leadership. You know, before you can experience servant leadership, you must be leading by example and leading by serving, and you're a great example. You're just a classic, bright, shining star of what serving others is all about. It's not about you, it's about others, and when you help them work through all kinds of stuff, I never cease to be amazed how many adults are walking around today in our society, Kate, who have a hurting child inside of them, the dysfunction that they never fully worked through growing up, or unresolved conflict. They have a nice smile, nice clothes, and a nice car, but on the inside they're crying out, this SOS, does not anybody care how I'm hurting? Mm-hmm. But they don't want to come open and cling to people because they don't want to divulge just how bad they're hurting on the inside.
Well, yeah,
but you're doing a wonderful work in helping these people rediscover themselves.
Well, it's just, you know, it's I love to provide for people what I didn't get, and that's mm-hmm. to support them. And, you know, as a young child, as you heard a little tiny bit of a thumbnail of, I worked extremely hard as a child, and I didn't complain about it. I just did it. And I didn't ask for anything, and I didn't get my needs met, and I didn't ask to get my needs met. I just kept doing and doing and doing. Mm-hmm. And I know that because of my attitude that I got through it all to be the person I am today, and I bless every single moment of it and every person along the way who maybe didn't treat me so nicely, because it taught me to really look at myself and find out who I am and discover that I'm a good person regardless of what anyone else thinks about it.
Yes, and see, you had the ability to rise above any negative stuff that was coming at you and saying, you know, I refuse to let that rob me of my joy and my peace of mind.
Right, and that's like a life's work. That's not something that you know, happens like you can think, okay, I'm not going to let anything bug me anymore. No, it's a process. And what you did with your situation, it was a process. It was a life process that you got to go through. I think it would make an excellent screenplay, too, Bill.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a real neat screenplay would be making the motion picture Squeeze Play. I mean, it was a comedy of errors. I mean, a lot of things that were not said in the book that you know, I can't believe that we were able to actually have the world premiere. That was a miracle of miracles that we're actually able to finish it. And so it was my first and last motion picture. I want to build up people. I don't want to make any more real estate insurance or motion picture deals. I just want to help people be all they can be and to challenge them to get out of their comfort zone. And, you know, I've never been more fulfilled and experiencing more meaning to life than what I'm doing these days.
Oh, I hear you completely. I'm totally there. And I just think being, you know, I have a radio show called Spiritual Hollywood and I'm a talent manager. I just think it would be very ironic to make a film about making a film that changed your life.
Oh, that would be incredible.
And that would touch a lot of people.
It really would.
That's where I'm coming from about it.
Well, I'm intrigued with that idea.
Yeah, I think if I were you, I'd meditate on that just a little bit because, like you said, you could really use a lot of those things that are not in your book in a film like that and still keep it G-rated so that kids can watch it on a Saturday afternoon and get the lesson that what you think about, you bring about, and, you know, what you do today can embarrass your family tomorrow and rob you of your freedom.
Oh, yes. I mean, in a New York minute, it can happen that fast.
Yep.
My self-image was lower in a snake's belly, and as I was locked up, I was beginning to think, you know, so many people that have a poor self-image, a poor self-image is a weakness, and a weakness, you can hide it. It'll crack under pressure every time. But when you restore your self-image to a healthy self-esteem, it's going to enhance your ability to think, to learn, to stretch, to grow, to process information, to maximizing relationships, to factoring right decision-making, to managing change, and the list goes on and on. And I make a statement, you make a lousy somebody else, but you make a wonderful you.
Yep.
Get excited about you as never before.
Yep.
And you're a great role model of a healthy self-image.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's a heartbeat by heartbeat process for me. It really is. I must be incredibly intentional, heartbeat by heartbeat, to remember that I am my own beloved. And I cannot be an instrument of God until I know that. And
that's right.
One of the ways to get to that place is self-care. Like, you're a great example for self-care, of doing all those crunches and your calisthenics and your cardio and, you know, the 200 shoots a day of the basketball and just staying with it and getting out of bed and getting out there to the gym and doing it anyway and showering and go back to bed and wake up feeling that delicious integrity that being your word gives you.
I like that expression, delicious integrity. Oh, I love that.
And it is too, isn't it?
It really is.
Yep.
It is.
And, you know, being your word is really who you are, and it's all you've got if you think about it. And being your word can take you around the world, and not being your word can send you to the depths of despair.
You're exactly right. Early in my book, I make a statement about integrity. I make a statement. If you desire long-term success, it swings on the hinges of integrity, and integrity will stand the test of time and survive the very closest scrutiny. And then don't promise anything that you cannot deliver or don't plan to deliver, regardless of how big or small it is. If you simply say it, if it rolls off your lips, you must do it.
Yep. Awesome.
You and I are on the same page.
Yep. And speaking of same page, I'm going to read a couple of things here that are exciting to me in your book, because we're coming up on the last 6 or 7 minutes of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you it would go by fast.
Well, it has flown. Where's the time gone, Kate?
Exactly. It's gone, hopefully, into the ears of people who needed to hear every word that we said.
Thank you.
And I believe that that's so. So it's the simplicity of integrity is, one, be willing to feel the fear of failure. Two, be willing to face the conflict when others oppose you. Three, be willing to endure criticism when you hold on to your dream. Four, be willing to go through mental and emotional pain. The closer you are to pain, the closer God is to making your dreams into reality. Five, be willing to be unconventional and try things outside the norm. Six, be willing to accept the fact that many times dreams are birthed when mental, emotional, physical, and financial gain or pain is at its greatest. Seven, be willing to stand up for the things worth fighting for. And some things worth fighting for, number one, is fight for a relationship, not against it. Two, fight for reconciliation, not alienation. Three, fight to preserve a friendship, not to destroy it. Four, fight to save your marriage, not to cash it in. Five, fight to solve problems and not to create them. And also another thing that touched me is many folks have in their minds a false picture of a confident person, and peace comes to someone whose inner life is consistent with his or her outer life, and the confident person exudes peace to all of those around them. And that's true.
It is so true.
Yeah, and I learned the other day, Bill, a new definition for confidence that actually set my truth meter off, which means it made me cry.
I'm listening.
Is true confidence is knowing that you're not alone.
Ooh, I like that. True confidence is knowing that you're not alone.
And knowing you're not alone, you are confident. And it's a God thing. Knowing you're not alone is what confidence is.
I love that.
It has nothing to do with how you feel about yourself. It has to do with knowing that you're not alone.
And, you know, so many people can be alone in a crowd. The silence can be deafening in a crowd. They just feel so insecure, and, you know, their lives are so messed up, they think there's no possible recovery for them. Did you notice the poem that I began the book, Life Isn't Easy?
I didn't.
As I travel across America, people are telling me, Bill, life's tough, it's hard out here. I said, no, it's daily and it's not easy. And one morning at 2:30 in the morning, I went to my study and I said, God, give me a poem that can be universal, that can appeal and communicate to everybody from all walks of life. And I've committed to the memory. It's just really powerful. It relates to everybody, and everybody can gain something from it. We pass and review on the center stage of life just one time, not knowing what a new day might bring, a broken heart, a crushed spirit, a shattered dream, trusting that someday the sun will shine again with a new song to sing. When a crisis looms on the horizon, it will never telegraph its arrival by knocking on your door. It will strike suddenly, unexpectedly, and at times it will be catastrophic, leaving you with unanswered questions to explore. A major failure, defeat, or disappointment is not fatal, nor is it final, and that is something you must believe. The very next chapter awaiting you will take you on an uncharted course with exciting accomplishments to achieve. Don't give up in the game of life, for it's always too soon to quit. Keep holding on with strength and courage. It's not easy, I admit. But when you do and maintain your vision, keeping a strong faith and passion for what you do, remember, your tears and pain will never be wasted, and I can promise you that God will see you through.
Beautifully said. Really, I was just reading along as you were reciting that, and you didn't miss a syllable.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful, heartfelt message.
Well, I'm up to 40 hours and 14 subjects without a note in front of me. I never use notes when I speak to whatever audience I'm speaking to.
You know, I don't either. I just trust myself and go.
And that's the most believable, credible way to do it, because you're a heart speaker, and I'm a heart speaker, and when you speak to heart listeners, you really connect, you really bond.
Do you know what? I agree with you, and you know what I find, Bill, is for my entire lifetime, whenever I write a letter, I don't put the pen to the paper or my fingers to the keyboard until it's from my heart.
That's beautiful.
And when I do that, people say yes when they've said no to everybody else. Because I'm speaking my heart, and I'm revealing the good in whatever it is that I'm speaking about, and I'm revealing the opportunity that it is for that person to be great.
That is so powerful.
And what we often do is think about, well, what can you give me? Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Well, life is not forgetting. Life is forgiving.
That's right.
And when you're giving somebody the feeling of their importance in the world and how they can make a difference by seeing something a little bit differently, then they want some of that. That's that delicious feeling of I matter. And some people, well, a lot of people go around not feeling like they matter a lot, and when you reveal to them that you think they matter, and sometimes that's just a smile, but when you reveal to people that you know they matter and that you care about why they're on the planet and you help them figure out why they're here and help them remember why they're here, then you've absolutely done whatever it was that you crossed their path to do. And that's why every single person we encounter in life comes to us, is because we have wisdom to impart to one another. It's not one-sided ever.
That's right. And they're so hungry for what you have to give.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if people have the ears for it and the timing is right for them to hear it, then magic happens.
Really,
and if the timing isn't right and they don't have the ears to hear it, then a seed is planted. And whatever tears they're crying over, whatever thing it is, will water those seeds and they will grow. So always, always say that thing that's on the tip of your tongue, like you said, to that person you feel inspired to speak to.
Well, thank you. Well, that is awesome. I'm going to give you one more compliment, and that is I've come to the conclusion after being with you tonight on your Spiritual Hollywood show that you're real, you're genuine, you're authentic, and you truly are a leader extraordinaire. Exclamation three times after extraordinaire, because you're that good. You're that significant in your corner of the world. You are truly making a difference, and I'm so honored and privileged to know you, Kate.
Well, thank you, and when you pass through L.A., I hope you will let us know you're coming.
Well, if I don't, you can get a L.A. posse to crowd me and bring me in. I'd love to. Anytime I'm anywhere within shouting distance, I'm going to come by and see you all.
I hope you will, and I'm going to hold you to that. And with that, we've come up on the last minute of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I want to thank you again profusely, Bill, for being my guest tonight. I've just had so much fun with you. And
it's been an honor for me to be with you. You're an incredible human being. I'll never forget tonight.
Well, it takes one to know one, and nor will I. And I want to encourage everybody to stand up really tall, take a deep breath, and love yourselves. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get busy creating the life that you can be proud of. Thanks again for listening, everybody. And thanks again, Bill, for being my guest. Good night, everyone. See you next week.
You're most welcome.